Folks, I've talked to you about this before. Distilled. You are looking to get a nice pair of denim jeans. It's hard to find a perfect pair. You know how hard it is. You go to different places, stores, outlet malls, whatever. You can't find the jeans that are right for you. This is a James changer. This is a game changer, James. James, this is a game changer. You listen to me, James? It's Distilled, D-S-T-L-D, luxury grade denim, James, at an affordable price. Jeans that would normally cost you hundreds, Distilled has starting at just $75. You know, I've talked to you about this before. You have to listen to me. They utilize the same fabrics, factories, and wash houses as the best known brands in the business. So we skip the markups and middlemen. The result is pure unadulterated denim without the retail runaround. Just go to distilled.com and see where minimalist design meets maximum comfort. Just go to distilled.com now.
Oh, well.
Excuse me. And use the protocol. Use the protocol promo code office at checkout and get 20% off. That's 20. Not two, 20% off jeans. They're already cheap. They're already affordable. Now you're getting 20% off. You just put in the access code. Do it now. That's Distilled promo code office. Five letters. All you need to know, folks. DSTLD.com.
Feral Audio.
Hey, everybody. Well, welcome to office hours. This way we're gonna get it on. Welcome to office hours. It's gonna be get it on. We're gonna get it on. Get it on. Gonna get on. All right. Rag it down. Scrap it out. Look at those marks coming in. We got a busy, busy day ahead of us, don't we, folks? So happy to be back. That energy is what we need today on a Monday morning, Monday afternoon, I should say. Unless you're listening in Hawaii. Are you listening? Squang dang. Wow. Squang dang. Bang, bang, diggly-doo. Wah, wah, wah. Run, dun, 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 dun. All right, folks. We did the kicking things up a notch with the hot puppet. Boop, boop, boop. Swang dang a ding a ding doo, swang dang a ding a ding do, swang a dang a dang dee, swang dang a dang a dang do. Pick it out, swap dab a doo doo, swam dab a doo doo. What if I went on another music tour and opened up with the HP, the hot pup? Hot Puppy A, there's a shorter version. I think some of you folks would go nuts. Anyways, why don't we just get into calls? What should we talk about today? Love to hear about your Thanksgiving. Not! Now, I'd love to hear about your Thanksgiving. 5 minutes, Drew. 5 minutes. You know, maybe movies. What else? I want to talk about Pizzagate. If anybody has information on Pizzagate, would love to hear from you on Pizzagate. Stanley Chase, you're on the line. You're my first caller today.
Wow, really? Can you hear me, Tim?
Yes, I can hear you fine.
Awesome. Hey, so... sorry, that was... sorry about that.
Yeah. Okay, what's up? It's all right.
My friends and I have this thing where if we overdid it the night before, we usually call and say, "Hey, are you working from home?" You know, in lieu of your song.
Yes.
And so I was just wondering what your hangover's like. You can describe it.
Well, I try not to get into that situation so much anymore. If I do have a few drinks, I don't overdo it to a point where I know I'm going to feel bad. But as you get older, the less you drink, the potential for hangover seems to increase as well. Your tolerance, right, I think, goes down. You know, it's always been headache based for me, full headache, throbbing head. When it's bad, I've had a few sort of late ones that turned into early flights. Those are the worst case scenarios. So,
right,
if I'm pulling a late New York night, sometimes this has happened where you're just out till four, partying with drinking and everything, and that's really it, really, for me, in terms of.
Do you have a limit that you usually set for yourself?
I mean, I don't want to get too. I don't want to get to the place where I'm spinning. This, you know, the sky is the room is spinning. Like, that's not a fun place to be. So I try to. But then, you know, you'll get up and get to the airport and be on that plane, and that's that cold sweat, nausea feeling is probably as bad as it gets.
Right.
All right.
Well, that's all I had for you.
Okay. Thanks, Stanley. Interesting stuff.
Thanks, Tim.
To start the day. Let's take Brett Hanley. Brett. Hey, Brett.
Hey, what's up?
What's
up? Give me a second. I just got to mute the thing.
No worries.
So, this isn't what I want to talk about, but I just want to remind you in Sacramento back in July.
Yes. What about it? You're breaking up. I'm sorry, buddy. You're breaking up. What did you say?
I was just saying, you remember that show that we did at Harlow's?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. But I just want to say that's who I am. I'm not going to talk about that. But anyways.
Wait, were you in the show? Were you in the band?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So you, this guy, you contacted me where? On Twitter?
Yeah, something. Yeah. I don't really. I mean, I think.
And really, can my band, or maybe you called into this show.
Yeah, I think I called in and
I
then
said, you said, can I play, can my band open up your show in Sacramento? I said,
yeah,
sure, because
yeah,
why not? And you guys came just out the there, you did your best.
Yeah.
And it was like hardcore, punk rock music.
A little bit, yeah.
Emo.
A little bit, yeah, you could call it that, sure.
It didn't gel well with the vibe I was going for in terms of musical, didn't really connect thematically to the night, but
yeah,
it did kind of play into
admit that.
It played into the idea that I'm supportive of my audience, and it's a very you know, the story of you being a fan or a listener or somebody that likes my work, that I can be that open as a artist,
right,
and allow you into my little circle. That's really the story. That's the takeaway.
Yeah. We really appreciated that. I can't,
sorry to laugh, but your computer is glitched out your voice, and it made you sound like, really funny. You sounded like slow and drunk, but, anyways, Brent's gone. Brent is gone. Let's see. I'd love for, let's see, Milk Boy. I feel like I talked to Milk Boy before. Milk Boy? Milk Boy? Oh, are we already having technical trouble? Feels like we're already having technical trouble here. Everybody's offline. I don't know. Let me see if I can accept this. I mean, it's at some point we're going to have to think about moving away from the Skype format because of the issues I'm having with Skype. Are we online still? I guess that's a good question to ask. Are we still online? Yeah, well, maybe we just don't have any calls coming in. This is a first. If we don't truly have any calls in, we should, if someone wants to call in just to test the system, I don't even have to take your call, and get into, you know, just call in to give me a test. If there's anyone listening there, call the Skype line at The Real Tim Heidecker. Let's see what's going on. Double checking Skype says it's, we are a go. Oh, I know what's going on. I'm listed as invisible. Oh, now I am online. Let's see if this changes the game. Hope everyone had a great Thanksgiving. If you had a break, is it so? Okay. So I'm listed as now online on Skype. So let's see. That should change the game. I don't know how those other calls came in, but, let's see. Just give me a call. I have to tell you, this is very strange because on any given office hours, I think you guys can attest to this, the calls come in nonstop. And you see my screen is just cluttered with calls coming in. Maybe this could be we've never done the show at this hour. This could be a time where there just isn't the call-in rate that we're used to. But I'll keep talking until we get a call in. Let's see. I want to tell you about my, I cooked a turkey this year. Oh, wait a minute. Here we go. Look at this. It says it's connecting. Isn't that something? I'm going to restart Skype. Sorry, folks. How about we take some questions on the chat board? See, okay. So Jonathan, you just said you tried twice. And it's not working. So Skype is becoming a problem. I'm going to hit the force quit on the Apple Mac and restart and see if we can get... Oh, you know what? I'm so tired of this. I hit this Siri button on my Mac. I never use it except when I don't want... You know, and I accidentally hit it. It gives me that tone. All right, we're restarting Skype, folks. Bear with me. We should be thankful and grateful for the opportunity we have to communicate, even if it's one-sided at the moment. One more time, I would like to just share with you my, I don't know if I want to call it a disaster on Thanksgiving, but it was very stressful. I was looking up a new ways to prepare the turkey bird. Some of you guys might have seen my Instagram goof I put up on the day. That was just a goof. I hope nobody cooked their turkey to 125 degrees. But what did happen was I found a recipe to take a turkey and you spatchcock it. Has anyone heard of this? Spatchcocking your turkey? Can I get any thumbs up on this? I got this technique from, I think it was the New York Times, Mark Bittman, cooking guy. And the recipe says you're supposed to what spatchcocking means is you cut the backbone of the turkey bird out. And then you flatten the bird. And, oh, we got calls coming in, folks. We are back online. I'm going to take this call so this can be more of a conversation. Justina. Hello?
Justina. Hi.
Hi. Can you mute your stream, doll?
Let me just mute my stream. I am. Hello.
Thank you. Hello. Where are you calling from?
How are you?
Where are you calling from? Oh, dear. Hello? Justina, where are you calling from?
England.
Oh, it's terrible connection today. I'm sorry. I can't speak with anybody that has that kind of connection. Dee, who we have here? Dee Fembry? No. Calder, Scott? No. Jordan? Oh, no. These guys all... hold on. We got to change me again to online. Oh, can you imagine having to listen to this show? It's a mess. It's just a mess. It's all my own doing. I'm trying to change my setting to available, and it's not. It just doesn't. It keeps sending me to offline. Let me see if I'm on the. I mean, how does it work once and then doesn't work again? What is this? Does anybody? Is there? There's an engineer here behind me, listening to the show from this podcast network. Maybe he could take a look. Can you take a look?
I can try.
Here. So there's Skype. I don't know. It's not doing anything.
You sound great, by the way.
Thank you. My voice is coming in clear. Anyway, so I'm spatchcocking my turkey. And you, like I said, you take the backbone off the turkey and you flatten the turkey. And what that they say it does two things for you. It rapidly increases the cooking time, or increases the it decreases the amount of time it takes you to cook your turkey bird. What are you trying to get to, Skype? There you go. And it gives you a more even cook. Okay. So I do this. I put some temperature probes into the bird, into the thigh and into the breast. And I'm looking for that bird to reach 150, because then I'll take it out and let it sit for an hour. It gets it up to 160, 165. So I put that thing in there. And the recipe says it's going to take a about an hour to an hour and a half to cook. Now, that's a nice time. We're not talking about 4 hours or whatever. We're talking about an hour to hour and a half. So I get the bird in there, and at about 40 minutes, that thing is up to temp. Okay, let's see. We'll see. It says we're back on. So call in. So it says it's back. It's up to temp at 40 minutes. So what am I going to do? Do I believe this temperature probe? Because I feel like I can't take it out and start cutting it open, because you got to let it rest. Ugh. So anyways, I decide to pull it out. I let it rest. I probe it a couple more times. It says it's up in 40 minutes, a 12-pound bird cooked. Capiche? See, look, it says it's offline. Now it just moves to offline. Didn't do anything. It just moved to offline. But people are still, all right, let's take this call and see what happens. Even though it says I'm off, look at this, all coming flying in. Angel Garden? Hello? Hello? There's somebody there.
Yes, hello.
Hi, how are you? Can you hear me? And then they disappear. I'm probably being hacked. David Tenenbaum. Hello.
Hey, Tim.
Hey, how are you?
Hey, Tim, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Good. First time, long time.
Right.
Actually.
Okay.
Actually, I recently got a, I want to say thanks to Eric sent me a autograph.
Everybody's breaking up. I mean,
for helping you guys out with that Reddit stuff a few weeks ago.
Can you tell me that again?
Hello?
Yes. Can you repeat yourself?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you, but it's, you know, it's.
Yeah, you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Yeah, I just wanted to say thanks. I helped you guys out with that Reddit nonsense a few weeks ago.
How did you help us out?
Yeah, and you guys sent me a nice little autographed, little cards. That's really, I appreciated that.
What did we do? I'm sorry. I'm not.
I got the new one. And so
You got the new one going. Okay, great. So check out Reddit.
Well, when the old subreddit got you, yes.
Right. The old subreddit seems to be back to normal, right? All right, I gotta go.
Yeah, it is. Which, is like better.
I can't. It's too choppy. Oh, okay. I'm being told to move the computer. See if it helps. Bring that in, but now it's no good, because that's right in my line. All right, let's try this. All right, let's try another call. I really do apologize for this show today, everybody, for anyone that's listening. It's a complete disaster. Join call? I don't know. Look at this. All right, let's get, I got to get a live guest in here. If this is the only way this is going to work. Live guest, Drew, where is he? Where's Drew? I mean, the internet works fine here. I'm going to go to just a normal page. Folks, oh, maybe not. Hold on, folks. Let's get some hot puppy. I got to put out some fires. You're right, Steven. It's trash.
Thank you.
somewhere, folks. I did some restarting. Nothing wrong with too much hot puppy. Guest in here real quick. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have a live guest in the studio today. His name is Drew Kordick. If you haven't seen his show, This American Drew, I was just on it recently. And I think it's a fun show. I think it's a funny internet show that you guys can enjoy. He's an absolutely employee, an editor, and maybe he can take some of your questions as somebody that's come from nowhere and has arisen to become a power player in the absolutely community. And wait for him to arrive. Should be any moment now. He's going to pop in. He'll get on mic number two, so I'll open up that mic for him. And we can talk to Drew Kordick. Oh, we're back on Skype for now. So let's see how that goes. Right. Jordan Rogers. All these same people are calling in. Skype is a diarrhea machine. Who's this?
Hi, Tim.
Hey, how are you?
Good, how are you? It's Dean.
Hey, Dean. You're coming in loud and clear. We've had major technical difficulties today.
Yeah, I saw that.
It's been really hard. And why don't we take your question and we can get the show going again?
Sure. Geez, I don't know what question is. Drew there now?
No, Drew's not coming now. Drew is in the middle of a meeting at the moment. So why don't we just turn to your questions in general?
Sure. I mean, first off, just a comment. I love the melody, the Oscar melody.
Medley.
I watch it like once a week.
The medley? Or
The medley. That's like 8 minutes of just perfect every second of it.
Thank you. Blows
my mind. I guess sort of related, sort of it ends on like a perfect like political note where you sort of.
The Clinton machine turned on.
So good. And the build from the Bowie into Atlas Shrugged and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So good. But, I mean, I guess my second thing is the political side of things.
Yes.
I'm in Canada. I'm in Toronto.
Okay.
So I'm just sort of
a lot
watching.
Of Canadian. Let me shout out to the Canucks, which is an insult, isn't it? I apologize. It's a slight. I apologize, but I do have a large audience for Office Hours up in Canada. I think they're more with it when it comes to the Office Hours vibe. But go ahead.
So, I mean, I guess, are you getting tired of all the political back and forth these days, or
am I getting tired of it? It's perhaps exhausting. Exhausting.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was going to end at the election.
Oh, it's just getting warmed up. Yeah, we're just getting warmed up.
And it's getting worse. And I think, I mean, your perspective, I feel like you're sort of in between. Is that right? I mean, do you think that you're sort of moderate?
I feel, I always vibe on myself. I vibe on myself. As moderate, yes.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, do you feel like you get pressure to sort of be more extreme these days?
Well, I've always considered myself moderate, but there is this feeling now of resistance. There's going to be some choices that are going to have to be made and perhaps become more active, more extreme, and more underground, resistant. And that's going to become less moderate, you know. I'm not one of these guys that's like let's try to work with this new guy and let's try to find common ground and stuff. I don't think that's a reasonable position for anyone to take. Cuz we know so much about them. We know so much about him, right?
Well, and his tweets, I mean, even up till yesterday.
So everyone says this, but it's true. It's that he had the chance he had was in the election, in the campaign that he ran. And so we saw who he is. We know who he is. We know what he wants to do. So there's not, I mean, it's all just about trying to fight it and trying to, stop as much as we can, reverse it as much as we can. And, that's really where my, focus is going to be. So that really does maybe take me out of the moderate position. But when it comes to policies and government and things like that, I would consider myself more moderate than sort of left wing ideologically.
And I guess in terms of resistance, I mean, do you think he's going to make it through the 4 years?
I do. I think maybe, you know, I don't know. It's hard to say. Anything can happen. But he'll have the power of the both houses of government or both houses of Congress. He'll have their support for the most part, you know. So
yeah.
I don't know who's going to challenge him. I don't know who's going to, you know, lead an impeachment for any kind of dereliction or abuse of power or, you know, unconstitutional act. So there doesn't seem to be anybody brave or strong enough in there and any single senator or congressman or block of Congress that are going to do anything to slow that down that I could see.
I guess what was the other thing about it? I just feel like, you know, how he's been tweeting about the Times and about Hamilton and stuff. I mean, what happens when he meets with like Trudeau, for example, and doesn't like him and then starts tweeting about what a dick Trudeau is?
Well, he's like a dog who's only reactive to the moment that he's in. So when he meets with Trudeau, it'll probably be just like Obama. When he came out of the meeting with Obama, he was like, yeah, I like the guy. He seemed like a really nice guy. When he sat down and talked to the New York Times, he was like, you guys are the best, you know, and when he's talking. So it's like whatever he's going to tell anybody on any given day what they want to hear. And that's like he just plays to the room he's in for the most part. So it's all going to be a question about who's going to be in his room more.
But at some point, someone's going to, you know, call him out. Like Merkel will say, like, right, Trump is wrong, and then that'll get under his skin.
Right. Well, they said they've already pulled that shit with Cuba now. They said if Cuba doesn't change X, Y, and Z, there's going to be all these we're going to, you know, pull these deals that we made last year with them out from under them. So he's already demonstrated his negotiating technique, which is to very publicly create ultimatums. And, you know, in the same way that a gangster would come into your grocery store and tell you that, you know, if you don't pay me, $40 a week, where there's going to be some broken glass to clean up.
Yeah.
You know, it's the same mentality.
Yeah. No, for sure.
All right. Take care. I got to go.
You too. It's great.
Justina, you're back on the line.
Hi.
Come on. Talk to me now.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you fine. Just make sure you mute the stream. How are you? You're calling from England?
I'm okay. Yes, I am.
All right. Let's talk. I love talking to the British because I do such a great little bit of it, don't I?
Yes, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Gary.
Do you know where you're calling from?
Lincoln, England.
Oh, Lincoln is the greatest.
I called before.
Do they still have the club there? Do they still have the club, the white dress?
No, they have the anchor.
The anchor, yeah, I've been down there. Yeah, it's all right. That's an all right club.
Yes.
But the white dress was the one.
That was the one.
I see.
And the blokes used to call it didn't stay white for long, mate. You know.
Oh, that's not nice.
Trampled in the back, you know. Beaten to death.
Wow.
How can I help you today?
Okay. Actually, I have a question about... I have an art project, and I want your input, if that's okay.
Okay. I'll do my best.
So I've got like two rooms, one on top of each other, and it's like an open cross section.
Two what?
These rooms, they're life size.
Rooms.
Rooms. Yes.
Like
I made them, so they're not like proper size rooms, but one's a basement.
I don't know what's a room. A room?
You know, a room.
A room.
Yes.
Like where you live, like where your bedroom is. Okay. Two rooms.
Yes.
These models.
But they're fake rooms. Yeah, but they're like, life-size-ish.
Oh, they're life-size.
So you can go in them, yes.
Okay.
So I have 17 days to make them look lived in, kind of fill them with stuff artistically. What would you put in the rooms?
What would I put in the rooms?
It can be, you know, any... You don't have to tell me exactly, just little ideas, you know, if you have any. Because I'm just grasping.
So is the assignment that you have two rooms they have to put it, or is your idea that you're just going to have two rooms and put a bunch of crap in it?
That's my idea.
So your idea, your idea is to have a couple of rooms that have stuff in it, but you don't know what that stuff is? This seems this seems like very shaky ground to start an art project on, to be honest with you.
I'm simplifying for the purpose of asking you. I do have ideas.
Well, give me one of your ideas so I can play off that. I can't just start from zero.
All right. Well, there's a person living in there, and they're maybe... They're doing something. They're kind of a little hermit type of person. It's not going to be kind of stereotypical, like Hollywood movie hermit. You know what I mean? Like the mad scientist type.
Right.
But it's kind of a... It's stealing some of those aesthetics, maybe. But doing it my own way.
All right.
So
you got... I think it's fun to see, like, outdoor things indoors. You feel that?
Okay.
Sort of like
yes.
Grass, maybe, somewhere. A little patch of...
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a small tree. Wow. That's starting to get interesting, isn't it? Because it questions, where are we? Are we inside? Are we outside? Why did we create an indoor world when we have the outdoor world that's so beautiful and part of nature, Mother Nature?
Right.
Put a lawn chair in there. Then you put a little color TV, you know, one of those little square color TVs with the rabbit ears. Get that in there. Get that plugged in so you get a little static, little light, little energy. It's starting
Great
to shape
ideas.
Up. All right. Yeah. I'm not going to give you the whole damn thing, though, because I'm going to have to put my name on it. We go down to Christie's or one of these art auctions, and I split it with you 50-50. We sell those two rooms for $250 million.
I understand. That's fine.
That's huge, huge money for you and me.
Yeah, well, I'd be okay with that.
All right. That's a deal, then. Let me know how the sale goes. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Let's take another call. Things are running smooth. Craig Cisnach.
Hey, I just wanted to start off by saying how much I enjoyed In Glendale.
Thank you so much, Craig. Where are you calling from?
Long Beach, California.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful Long Beach. Part of the Queen Mary experience.
Oh, yes. You know, you don't get married unless you get married at the Queen Mary.
That's correct. And what can I help you with today?
Actually, I'm sorry if you've been asked this question before, but I wanted to know how you met Greg and if you're a fan of his music from the 90s in San Francisco area.
The music is a blind spot for me. I haven't listened to any of it. I came into the...
Well, it sucks. I'm just kidding.
Well, I don't know if that's nice. But I met him. He was on Awesome Show in the Neil Hamburger persona 10 or so years ago now, almost 10 years ago. I met him. I was a huge fan of Neil Hamburger. Didn't know about the music before, but And
yeah, he has an old band called the Zip Code Racist or Zip Code Rapists. Rapists. It's actually pretty good for those who haven't heard it. They should probably check it out.
All right, everybody, check out the Zip Code Rapists. I will check that out. Thank you, Craig, for the call. Let's go to JJ Sparrows.
Hey, hello, JJ. I'm just muting the stream real quick.
Thank you.
Do you hear me?
I can hear you beautifully.
Perfect. Just wanted to call in. Been a not so long time listener. I just went through and listened to every single one of the Feral Audio podcasts.
Oh my lord! That's got to be what 12 hours of listening or more.
I think it's 22 maybe. I don't know. I got really big time invested into this.
Wow, you must have a lot of free time.
I mean, it was the Thanksgiving weekend, so you know, wanted to delve all into this, but got a lot of laughs out of it. One of the big, my favorite moment from it was when Jason called and you got real goofy with him and did the real enthusiastic Jason, and I got a big laugh out of that. My question into you.
Okay, right. From Friday the 13th.
Yeah. They're very laughed a whole lot.
The giggler.
My question to you is, I guess I get a lot of laughs out of you. What is the biggest like on-set crack up you had, or I don't know, what's the most fun you ever had on set, laughing at like losing it on set?
There's so many. I think most of the things we do, I mean, maybe not bedtime stories so much because it's not quite overtly as funny as the other stuff, but most of the stuff from Awesome Show that we did, I mean, the stuff I do with Decker, and all of it is terribly riddled with crack-ups and unprofessionalism. I think we're shooting Decker right now. Every first delivery of my line, I crack myself up because I'm hearing it for the first time. And I absolutely am in love with myself and my humor. So it's really playing to the biggest audience there is. you know, I would love to one day put out the outtakes from the first vodka, absolute vodka thing that we did with Zach. That I know was just nothing but crack ups. And Eric was terrible at it. He would crack up all the time, and it would be endless takes of us trying to get through it without him cracking. And, you know, some of it's exhaustion that gets you into that place. Sometimes it's because it's so improvisational and spur of the moment. You're, like I said, you're kind of hearing it when you say it for the first time. So you don't know it's coming. And so you can look on YouTube, there's plenty of examples of us back, you know, behind the scenes stuff cracking up. But it's rampant, it's unprofessional, and but it tells you how much fun we have when we do what we do.
Oh yeah, the outtakes, those are some of my favorite things to watch. And the stuff with Zach Galifianakis, the vodka, just three boys in bathroom. I think it's all bathroom boys, I'm blanking on that. But those are some of my favorite things you guys have done. Just wanted to, I guess, call in, say I love your humor.
Thanks, JJ.
I love everything you've done.
Thank you, JJ. Yeah,
Decker is great, and see you soon.
All the best. That's nice. Nice guy. Abby? Abby?
Hello.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good. Hello. Hey, how are you?
Good. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from England.
Yes, more specifically, please.
I live near Reading.
Oh, the Reading Music Festival, everybody.
Yeah.
All right. So how can I help you today?
Good. So I have, like, a bit of a story and then a question that goes with it.
All right. I'll take a story.
Okay, so I want to go to art school, so I'm going to a lot of life drawing class moment.
You go say that again. You got glitched out.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
I want to go to art school.
I want to go to art. Yeah. So I'm watching a documentary late at night, and it's like a really weird documentary about like these men who wear latex dog suits and live their life as dogs.
Okay.
And I recognize one of the men as a man in my life drawing class. And I get completely shocked and I don't know how to react. But then I think about it for a bit and I just got really weirded out because I felt like I didn't know if what is weird. I mean, what I think is weird, someone else might think is completely different. And like what I like, someone else might think is weird. So my question is, do you believe weird is like, has a defining line or if it's just like more of a scale? I mean, I don't really know. I'm sorry.
That's fine. Can you say again what this life drawing guy was in the video? It was in a being treated like a dog or something. I can't remember.
He lives as a dog. Like he lives in a cage.
Oh,
and
wow.
Like he wears latex and I didn't know at all until I saw him. I had no clue, really.
Well, I think, listen, you have to have a point of view of the world that,
of course, yeah,
that you kind of create what you believe to be normal or reasonable behavior, at least to the point where, you know, the comedy we make or whatever the work we make has a point of view. And if you don't believe that there's things you shouldn't be doing or whatever, there'd be nothing to laugh at or there'd be nothing to laugh about. All right. We're back up. Apologies. This is just, I think it's partly to do with the doing this in the middle of the day, maybe with all the everyone else on the internet. Cause at night it works great. Pizza.
Hey.
Hey,
is this Tim.
Pizza.
Hey, what's up?
What's up,
pizza,
man?
Pizza, yeah. Give me pizza. Not much, man.
What? How are you doing today?
Just in Yucca. My name's not Pizza. What's that?
I said, how are you doing today?
Hello?
Can you hear me?
Oh, I'm doing great.
Good.
Doing great. I always, yeah, I can hear you. I always get super fucking cheered up when you do these.
Oh, I'm glad.
Yeah, I wanted to
tell you know anything you about how, Pizzagate?
I saw that shit on Twitter. I didn't investigate the Pizzagate.
Okay, I'm looking for people that can talk to me about...
Should I investigate the Pizzagate?
Yeah, look into it. It's fun. It's interesting. It's one of these conspiracy theories that kind of is very imaginative, I guess, and super creepy. And
So can you describe a little bit about it? Like,
so as far as I know, that this is sort of... if I'm coming at it from a believer, right... That's the position I'll take, though that's not the position I take. But in order to explain it to you, it would be that there is a ring, a pedophilic, satanic cult that operates at the highest levels of our government. And there is a pizza place called Comet Pizza that operates as the... the staging center for this ring of pedophiles and child sacrifice stuff. That's the core of it. And
Jesus Christ,
the Clintons are involved. Obama's involved.
I used to be a Mormon missionary, and I used to get this shit from evangelical.
Oh, they thought you guys were like kidnapping children and selling them as sex slaves, or what?
Yeah. There was a lot of they used to get a lot of human sacrifice.
Yeah.
In the temple is what they thought we were doing. But I think these evangelical Christians are pretty prone to conspiracy theories.
I think so. So you can go down a little bit of a rabbit hole on YouTube, and there's all kinds of investigative reporting about it by these like influence types. It's pretty interesting. And crazy, crazy quackery.
I think it's right up my alley.
Who knows? I don't know. Maybe this is all true. Maybe this goes on.
I'm open to a lot of different realities right now, man.
That's what I'm saying. Because I tell you, man,
I've been watching Adam Curtis all week, and it's like, all right, Jesus Christ, we're getting ready.
Isn't that great? What did you watch? Hypernormalization?
Yeah, I actually watched his whole catalog again, but Hypernormalization was like...
Did I turn you on to that, or did you just come to it from somewhere?
No, actually, I'm a fan, but it was actually Nigel Godrich, uh-huh, one of his tweets.
Oh, no.
But it's one of those things that it's like, I'm hesitant to tell people I know shit that I like, because, you know, maybe they won't like it, but that's one that... seems like
I think it plays to a variety of people.
Change people's minds.
Yeah,
not, you know, let you kind of think for yourself. But before I take too much of your time, I wanted to let you know how much you affected the summer for a bunch of kids in Provo, Utah with that Shrek shit, man. That was like the best thing ever.
This is the from like, years ago, you mean?
Yeah, back in 07.
Oh, yeah.
So just there was a whole crew of us, and we couldn't get enough. We were all, you know, Tom goes to the mayor fans, but it was like...
That was the
I
one.
I think when I started feeling how, like, different what you were up to, and it's
I remember
like,
very clearly coming in. I was driving into work, and I saw these... I mean, the Shrek 3 billboards were... Everywhere you could look.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
the
yeah.
The oversaturation.
In L.A., and it's like...
It was everywhere, and, you know, we were kind of in a down... We were, like, you know, in a prep or, I don't know, in between seasons or not sure what we're going to do next, kind of waiting, sitting around, waiting for some deal to go through or whatever. And I came in, and I said, you know what we should do is put a big ad for Shrek 3 on our website. And just put it out there, you know, and Eric just thought that was hilarious and was like immediately got what I was thinking. And it was
yeah.
like pure like brain merging of concept. And then he said, well, maybe we should make this little commercial for it, you know. And like within 5-10 minutes, we were in the green screen room. And just once we did one, it was like. It was over.
God.
It was just like, oh, we have to make
Fandango.com.
Yeah, we have to make 100 of these. And that was like a really fun example, I think, of when you have this weird dead time in your life or this sort of, you know, to a distraction that's not really your main focus, that some of the best stuff can come out of those experiences. Right, Pete? Pete's maybe gone.
Like, no fucking clue.
Okay, sorry, Pete, we lost you. I'm going over to Milk Boy. Milk Boy's all the way in, been calling in all morning. Milky? Hello? Hello, I can hear you clicking away. Milky? I hear you out there, Milkman. MB? Forget you. How about this person, Suvik? 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 Hello?
Hey, Tim.
Hey, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. I feel like I want to guess the album cover in your profile. Is it John Cale?
No, I think judging from statements you've made, you should be able to guess this one.
Is it Joni Mitchell?
No, it's Steely Dan.
Steely Dan. What is it called? What's the album called? Gazpacho something or what's it called?
Gaucho.
Gaucho.
Okay. Gaucho.
Sorry.
I thought you were like a diehard fan.
No, I'm not a diehard fan. I do recognize it as the cover. I mean, I like them fine. I'm a little starting to get sick of some of the, like, Do It Again. Do you need to hear Do It Again ever at the airport or...
Right. Did they get a little bit self-indulgent towards... Like,
I don't mind the self-indulgency. I just think that there's certain qualities of that song that bother me, and particularly in public, and it seems to be played a lot in public. And the sitar guitar solo into the organ solo is really just you're just annoying. You know, there's like, what else is it but annoying?
Right.
It doesn't stop. Yeah. Good tune, good melt, you know, good hook, good. And you go back, Jack, do it again.
Oh, wow. That's gorgeous. Nice.
So what can I do for you today?
Nice one. I'm a huge fan, by the way.
Thank you.
I wanted to ask you, do you think there's any chance of a nightlife reboot?
Reboot. You never say never. I don't know.
I felt it was just such a... some of my favorite work that you've ever done has already been been mentioned by previous callers, but I felt Night Live kind of really hit like a sweet spot with that one.
I think I'd like to do it again. We talked about doing it again over the years, and it takes a bit of work to get it together, but it's, what's fun about it is you just don't, then when it's done, it's done. You don't have to re-edit, and you don't have to go back and fix stuff. I think for me, it's more fun. I think Eric is a little more, would probably want to go and fix stuff, and that might be the reason it doesn't happen, or it wouldn't happen. But I don't know. I love doing the Oscar special. I don't know if you've seen those. That's sort of the same kind of energy.
Definitely.
All right, thanks. I'm going to take another call.
All right, take it.
Good talking to you, okay? Milk Boy's trying again. I don't know if I'm going to pick up. I'll try him one more time. Milky!
Hello?
Hey, Milk Boy.
I mean, hello. This is Alex from Texas. Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead, Alex. Can you give us an update? Can you give us an update on Pizzagate?
Pizzagate, John Podesta.
All right.
I can't do that anymore.
I know, it hurts. Imagine what it did to me.
Jesus Christ. You had to do that the whole RNC.
Berks.
That was crazy.
Now let me tell you what I know about Pizzagate. We've been looking at this thing basically for about 2 years. All right. And I got information coming in. But basically some inside sources, Roger Stone and a couple people that I know working at the FBI.
Karl Rove.
You know, well, fuck Karl Rove. I don't want to talk about Karl Rove. Okay. I got big problems with him. He's part of the global Illuminati trilateral commission that's basically got us in the place we are now. Now, when it comes to Pizzagate, I've been looking into this now for two, three years, and it goes back even beyond that, folks, because I've been looking at this through these official, you can look in the papers, it is documented factually as far as the government reports that have been sealed and redacted. You can go into WikiLeaks, and you can go into Roger Stone's personal blogs and everything, and get on to basically find out that there has been stuff that these guys have been doing now for over 300 years. And you can go back to the Mayflower, if you wish. And these people have been coming over here, and they are not from this planet, you know. But we've been working very hard, and we have exposed the essential plot that they have come up with. And this is basically like this, their Magna Carta. It's their constitution about how they're going to proceed with the child mutilation, child rape, and child exploitation. And that is transcendent. That is offers them the opportunity to rise to a different plane on the Illuminati sphere. And this is all documented, folks. This is something you can actually go online and look it up. We have access to that on Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.com. You can get access to that right now if you sign up for the premium plan, which is $29.99 a month. And that gives you immediate breaking news access. When we get interviews with Roger Stone, you're going to be the first to know. Now, when it comes to Pizzagate, and finally media starting to pick up their ears, and they're trying to blockade us, and we've actually had radio transmission figurations come on in, and the FCC has been come down here, and they want to take the plug out. So you got to just be careful. You got to watch out, because the media infiltration on this is the biggest we've ever seen. And I'm going to start broadcasting now hourly. And we put our children in foster care because I'm going to be unable to support them at this point. I cannot be there for them, and my wife is not going to be there for me. So this is a red alert from Alex Jones, and we have to be careful because we are amongst the demons as we speak, and they are listening to me. And if I'm dead by tonight, you know who done it.
That's right.
Anything else?
I just got to say, I'm pretty young, but my worst fear is going bald, and I really hope that they have better hair plugs than the ones that they gave to Roger Stone. You know what I mean?
I hear you. All right. Thanks, Milk Boy. Good talking to you.
And,
how about Angel Garden?
My worst fear is
Angel Garden. Angel Garden. Can I talk to my Angel Garden?
Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Hi, Tim.
Hi, how are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing great on this beautiful Monday afternoon here in Los Angeles, California, Glendale, California, Los Angeles County.
Yes, I'm calling from Jacksonville, Florida.
Okay.
Yep. All right. Well, I have a question for you. I'm not sure if you've gotten this before. Stop me if you have. But I'm a huge fan of everything that Absolutely Productions does, most things.
Yes.
And yes. I've been following your work for a long, long time. And I had a question. I particularly love, like, the advertisements you guys have done.
The what?
Like, advertisements.
Yes.
Like for
Cinco.
And the well, yeah, but, like, the real ones, you know, the GE commercial for that Absolutely did a while ago.
Uh-huh.
And I was wondering, kind of in that same vein of, like, high production cost and, like, kind of different ways to make things, what inspired the stylistic change that began, stylistically, like, aesthetically and writing-wise, that began Bedtime Stories? Because that was a big shift between you guys' previous work.
Yeah, well, I think when we kind of decided to put a cap on Awesome Show and take some time to do the movie, and we had made a couple of shorts for Funny or Die's HBO show, The Father and Son and The Terrys. We kind of got the, you know, we felt, oh, that was really, that was a fun new muscle to use. The, you know, the higher production value, more cinematic. And we, when it came, we were discussing what we wanted to do next. We knew we didn't want to do the same thing. You know, we didn't want to do a lo-fi sketch show, essentially, which is what we would broadly classify Awesome Show as. So, but we didn't want to get tied down into a narrative sitcom kind of, you know, one continuing story. So we kind of, you know, kind of led us directly towards Bedtime Stories. But it was making the Funny or Die, Terrys and Father and Son that showed us that we could translate our sensibility to a higher production value. It wasn't that we were beholden to our own style. It was that our ideas could go in any direction that felt right to us.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Yeah.
Do you have any questions for, since you seem to be familiar with Absolutely, I'm going to bring on to the microphone here, Drew Kordick. He's an editor here at Absolutely. Drew.
Hey, how's it going?
And,
hey, Drew.
Drew, can you hear Drew? I mean, can you hear, what's your name again? Angel?
Yeah, I can hear Angel.
Okay. So now everyone's connected. Drew, you've been here working here at Absolutely for how long?
I started out as an intern 5 years ago, and I've been editing for about 2.5. Climbed that Abso ladder.
Great. And now you're a lead editor on you're editing a pilot that we've made right now?
Yeah, it's a pilot for Mark Proch and Andrew Weinberg. It's called Terry.
Oh, it's called Terry. How about a coincidence? We were just talking about the Terrys.
Oh, wow.
So do you have any questions for Drew?
Yeah, I actually do, Drew, if you don't mind me asking. You said you started as an intern. Maybe this is out of line, but when you applied with, you know, the projects you had worked on, did you tailor anything to Absolutely, like, specifically? Or did you have your own style that you kind of approached them with and was like, this is what I do?
I think a little bit of from column A and column B, probably. I mean,
how did you get to become an intern?
I Googled the phone number. The old offices came up. I talked to a man named Jonathan Roig, who's now a producer here. At the time, I think he was an office PA.
Well, back off the mic a little bit. We're getting a lot of P's.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm pretty sure I sent my reel and all that stuff. I doubt anybody watched it because, but yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, I think my sense of humor definitely lined up with, like, Awesome Show and all that stuff before I started working there. And yeah, does that answer your question?
Okay. Yeah, no, it does. Absolutely. Absolutely, it does.
Do you have aspirations of your own to be in this business here with us?
Yeah, actually, I do. I applied for an internship about 4 years ago. Before I had graduated with my first degree and got a response, but I was very stupid and didn't live in LA.
Oh,
so
it's a big commitment.
That kind of ended thing there.
Yeah, it's a big commitment to be like, well, I'm gonna give it all up and move out to the coast and be part of the Hollywood scene.
Yeah.
So where would you come from, Drew?
Yeah. I'm originally from the south suburbs of Chicago.
Right. And you took the big leap.
I took the big leap. I moved out to LA with like $200 in my bank account. I don't recommend that to anybody. But packed up a U-Haul with my Basset Hound and
Facebook. Oh, we're back on. Okay. Drew, what's going on with you these days?
Right now I'm
quickly
working on a show for Highland Park TV. It's called This American Drew.
I'm a big fan. I was on last week's episode.
You were, and thank you so much for doing it. I've gotten a really great response,
Jacob,
from it.
Hey, Tim.
Jacob, I'm here with Drew, an actual absolutely employee.
Hear me?
Yes. I can hear you.
Hi, Jacob.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, hey, I'm a guy who lives in LA too.
Very cool.
Yeah, totally cool. Mount Washington.
Yeah, baby.
You got it.
Lots of good food out there. You got what? A Jack in the Box?
Taco truck on every corner.
Yeah.
Oh. So yeah, what, just like.
Just what can like I help you with today?
Well, honestly, like you two fellas, my job kind of forces me to work in LA. I'm a graphic designer and there's, you know, a lot more of my business out there, but I'm kind of getting tired of living there. I wonder if you guys get tired of living in LA and feel kind of tied there because of the biz. You know what I mean?
I know what you mean. I often think about this. I'll let Drew go first here. Drew?
Yeah, you know, I think the only thing that keeps me in LA is the career stuff and the friends and stuff that I've made here. I mean, I would never live in this city. I would probably live in California, though. I like California in general.
Yeah, I feel that. I'm actually back home east for Thanksgiving at my parents' house.
What's driving it? I mean, there's obviously some cons to living here. I'm going to go through them for myself. The traffic is a problem if you have to cross the city quite a bit or use the highways.
That's my number one.
That's a debilitating and frustrating and depressing element of living here. It's a fact.
Yeah, I work on the west side, but it kind of sucks over there, and I don't really want to live there.
No.
Yeah, it's super dirty. Yeah. Everything's super
dirty. It's dirty and
dirty. I'm gonna have a big thing to say right now.
And go ahead.
I think that's the point of me doing this podcast is sometimes we're going to have technical problems. Sometimes we're going to have dead air, bad questions, bad guests. But what it does is it leads me down a path towards these moments now. We're about to say big things.
I'm happy to be a part of it.
We don't have a perfect city. I think there's lots of worse places to be, by the way. Most places to me, I think there's, you know, it does get a little too hot for too long. The sun's out too much. The change in weather is not what I'd always like it to be. But here we go. My dream since last Tuesday when we suffered such a crushing defeat and it was so demoralizing. It was so upending and confusing and depressing to find ourselves living in this.
Are you talking Cal Exit?
No, I'm not. I am not. But I'm not necessarily against that. But I've said this before. What's the big deal about America? Who cares? Just fucking do whatever you want. It's not. Nothing's supposed to last forever.
Right.
I'm not a big like American flag guy.
This is not, yeah.
But that's not what I'm here to say. I want to make a direct appeal to Elon Musk and say, let us make Los Angeles the city on the hill, the future city of the world. Let us put all of our energy into making this city work, you know, from a sustainability place, from a equality of living standpoint, from a health standpoint, from a educational standpoint, every factor, let's attack it viciously here and make fucking, hover cars going from Santa Monica to Pasadena.
Yeah.
And let's make, let's be fully on solar and wind. Let us make the water clean. Let us make the education as high as it can be on our own. without Trump and his goons,
yeah,
and without the federal government, let us do it ourselves and show the world, the state, the city that voted overwhelmingly against this maniac, this louse,
yeah,
that we have a different way and we have a different path. And I believe Elon Musk could do that. He should get his fucking head out of the stars and that Mars shit.
Focus on Earth,
and
man.
And get this city, my city, Los Angeles, the city of angels. Let us be the shining city on the hill that says to the country, says to the world, we do not need gas. We do not need oil and coal. We don't need this stuff.
We don't need racism.
We don't need, racism. Sexism. We need our brothers and sisters to get along. We need there to be peace on the streets. We need to end violence now.
Tear down the gender binary.
So I'm, well, who knows about that?
I'm all for it, Tim. I think that sounds great.
Let us all reach out to our Lord Elon Musk. And I guess people believe there's bad things about this guy. I don't know. People say he doesn't pay anybody or whatever. I don't know. Everyone seems to be happy working there. I saw a guy at the airport walking around with a Tesla bag.
Yeah.
He had a briefcase with Tesla on it. He seemed a happy boy. So I'm saying let's get him on board. I'm not saying he's going to run the whole ship. Him, Mayor Garcetti, the city council, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Maybe you,
Kobe.
Too.
Me, I mean, you're you two, one. Bono, The Edge, whoever. Let's make it, because it's nice. It is nice here, but it's got big problems.
It's got big problems, but there's a lot of progressive minds, a lot of people who want good stuff like you're talking about. So
desalination plants that are good, that are, you know, sustainable, that are use sustainable energy to create water. Let's pipe water in from the flood zones. Let's tap our potential here. And this could be the whole state. We can make it a statewide effort. But we can be the example to the world. We should be. People ask me, what can we do? What can we do here now that we live in this, this California, which seems so disconnected from the rest of the country? What can we do? I said, well, we could work locally. We can make we can make the world, the community around us can shine.
Well, California was a blue state, but there's some pretty conservative parts of California. So LA is probably
the first to go in the gas chamber.
That's what I was going to say.
There's some strong passage to the north.
We'll need everybody on board for this. We have to appeal to their better angels. This is the city of angels. We have to say, listen, we need you because you are the farmers. You are the blue collar workers there. We need everybody on board to make California a great city state, if you will. Also, I should post this somewhere. There's a wonderful remapping of the United States that this guy did in the New York Times about 6 months. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
It rethinks about the way the way the country works and creating these zones throughout the country and better use of our tax dollars and better funding for infrastructure. There's really interesting, good ideas floating around out there. No one is really talking about them on the news or anything like that, but we got to break open we got to think outside the box. All right, thanks Jacob for leading me down that road. Thomas Ulmer, what does he want? Thomas,
hello sir.
You with your fucking girlfriend on your avatar.
That's my fucking wife.
Fuck you.
That bitch.
Are you? It's not funny, but. You talking political, are you? Is that what you've been doing?
I'm just talking big, but life. Talking about life. What do you got?
I'm just calling from a red state, South Carolina. And it's okay. I felt the burn first off, like in the beginning.
Uh-huh.
And then I actually did vote for Trump.
Oh, boy.
Calm down. Okay. Cool. But the only reason I did that was because I just couldn't stand, Hillary being just so crooked and she's a crook. I mean, we have to all agree on that. She's a crook.
Yeah, she broke into my neighbor's house and stole their silverware.
Yeah. Hillary Clinton killed my dog.
Fucking thief and bitch. Anyways,
well.
Yes. What?
I mean, sure, whatever you want to think. You know, you read whatever you want to read.
But, you know, I'm
You should be proud of yourself. You should be proud of yourself.
No, I shouldn't. No, I voted, and that's the American thing to do, but I just felt...
You feel sick, don't you? You don't know what the hell's going on.
Are you scared? I don't, but I was just picked...
Did you think that she was going to win?
I'd feel more afraid if she was in power.
What did you think she was going to do? What did you think she would do? Like, how do you think it would have affected you? I this is a serious question. I'm not being condescending. How did you think it would have affected you in a negative way if she were elected president?
I feel that it would have affected me negatively because I don't know what the fuck's going on behind the scenes with them. I mean, all this... I don't know if y'all talked about the Pizzagate shit and all that stuff. I know that seems so goddamn far-fetched. But just that stuff, I don't know. It was just a bunch of stuff that I've read up on that has really... I have a kid.
Talking about Pizzagate at all?
Yeah, he's talking about Pizzagate.
But have you talked
about it? I talked about it, yeah.
Okay.
I feel like listen. I have some understanding of it, but go ahead.
Right, yeah, okay. Well, I'm just saying, I have a four-year-old, and reading all that shit about the pedophilia... and all that kind of garbage really struck a nerve with me.
So you buy into that.
What?
You buy into that.
I mean, there's just so many things connecting towards it. It's not, I don't feel like it's just coincidence anymore. I feel like there is an underlying reality towards that. Yes.
What are the connections?
It's just with Podesta, just the whole... I mean, you have to look into it for yourself. It's a rabbit hole.
I looked into it, and
you thought it was shit.
Yeah, it's quackery to the highest degree. It's like the worst like UFO conspiracy crap. That's sort of, you know, if you look at these things individually, you can create this. You know, you can draw the lines to make any picture. It's like looking at clouds and seeing whatever you want to see.
I understand.
I think it's just that you've been literally manipulated into believing that this person was literally a witch. And that was like what they used to do.
She's a fucking witch. I'm not saying she's a witch, that woman. I don't know what the fuck she's doing. It's weird. I guess people make it seem like she's an artist or some shit. I don't know. That's weird to me.
They're not making it seem that she's an artist. She is an artist. She's a performance artist.
Okay.
And so what happens
Do you know this for fact? I mean, people do dabble in weird ass shit.
So what?
Especially when there's money involved, when there's kids involved, they get into weird shit.
Especially
man.
When there's kids involved, people dabble into some weird shit.
Well, with money and children is what I'm saying, man.
What are you talking about? Is there a secret technique to rape and murder a child gives you more money or something?
No, I'm just saying that when a lot of money is involved and a lot of power, people have fucking obsessions with power. And what's the easiest thing to take power over? Right. Someone who is not able to fend for themselves.
Let me ask you this.
To fight people off. Yes.
Let me ask you this. Let's say you, me, and Drew here were into fucking 3-year-old boys. And we believe it because we got put into this. We're like obsessed with, I want to become the fucking president because I want all the power. I want all the world at my fingertips. But and somebody conned me in, or somebody got me into this scene. He's like, come here, I'll talk to you about something. It's going to sound insane. But one of the ways you can get there is you fuck these little boys and then kill them.
Yeah.
I'd be like, well, okay. That really freaks me out because A, seems real gross. B, seems dangerous. It seems like we can get in trouble, you know, and like, I don't want to do that, but anyways, let's do it, Drew. Like, this is what we want.
I want the power.
So let's get in this scene. So then they get in the scene, and I find out that the guy running the scene, he's kind of weird, but he's gone ahead and put all this, like, symbology all over the place in this pizza place. He's, like, put a little winks and codes, and I'd go, you know what? If this is supposed to be super secret, why not like avoid putting any codes or any winking about or any kind of signaling that this is what we're about? It seems obvious that if these people have to be super smart, right? If you're talking about these people running these child pedophile rings, you think that they have learned by now that they don't put like a pedophilic symbol in their logo for their pizza place.
Right.
So then. Yeah. So have you considered that maybe this is all just kind of a combination of targeted manipulation of, you know, people that they want to keep in a certain mindset, combined with coincidence, combined with just made up shit.
Okay, I understand what you're saying, but it's not in the news anywhere. Anywhere, and every time that it gets
either
brought
up. Either is Bigfoot every night.
What?
Either is Bigfoot every night.
We're not going to talk about
unfounded conspiracy theories, especially one with a ridiculous name like Pizzagate.
Give you an example. So yesterday,
well, it's not going to be called a fuck boy town. You know, it's going to be something underground.
I think
it's going to be something sneaky.
Why? There's no conspiracy.
Because it's illegal. What do you mean? Why wouldn't it be sneaky?
Well,
they don't
want
to get caught.
Well, yes, but there isn't this underground world of people in robes and, you know, and a power elite that is part of a secret society. You know, it just isn't there. You want it to be there because helps you make sense of the world, that the world isn't as chaotic.
And here's the thing.
And you want let him go, Drew. Go ahead. Tim, have I ever?
Okay, yeah, I'm just saying. Have you ever heard of the Hell's Fire Club, like in fucking England and all that? It's this kind of, if you haven't, then you should look into that. It's huge. But anyways, it's just people that were, you know, overly powerful, overly rich. Back, I think it was in England or Scotland or something like that. This type of thing with the robes and everything you make fun of. I mean, I think it's funny too, but I'm just fucking saying, because it's weird as fuck. I'm just saying that this has been going on for centuries.
Yeah, but if you want to look,
why wouldn't it not go away? You know, of course it's still going on.
All you have to do, if you want to get upset about bad people doing bad shit, all you have to do is look at the overt things that Donald Trump has been doing this week and for the past year.
I don't think Donald Trump is fucking wonderful or a fucking godsend or any of that shit. I'm just saying, I was just voting.
But I'm
picking the better of both evils is all I'm saying.
I know.
And yeah, he's fucking evil. He's garbage. Okay, I understand that. But I had to vote. It was my American duty to fucking vote
you
for
did
something.
It.
You know?
All right, well, it didn't matter because you were from South Carolina, so it was going to go his way anyways. But
I know that.
Anyways, listen, I hear your passion. What I'm saying is I think you've been manipulated a bit. Maybe I've been manipulated. Listen, I don't know. I don't know anything because right. I'm not
you're just a man.
Omniscient.
You're
just
a
guy. I'm just a guy with reasonable intelligence, college educated, coming up to conclusions based on the world I get to observe from my own place.
I got a question. Ask a question real quick?
Fine.
Okay. Is this Drew guy? Is this the guy that interviewed you the other day?
Yes.
Okay. I'm not... Okay, I was just wondering. I just listened to him on the fucking Poundcast.
What you think?
Let me guess, you're not a fan of this kid.
What I personally think is I think people are way too fucking labeled with this cis male and this fucking all this shit, man.
Again, another thing that does probably not affect you in any way in your own life.
Yes. Yeah, it doesn't affect me. It's just annoying.
It's just annoying, you fucking brat.
I am a fucking brat, and I was fucking stand by
everything. Everything has come up roses for you your entire life. Look at you, beautiful white.
Yeah, you got a beautiful
wife. You're a white man.
I'm walking on clouds. I'm not.
You got no troubles.
You got Skype.
You got Skype. You got an internet connection. What have you done for somebody else lately?
I did. I gave cans to a food drive.
That's nice. That's something.
Yeah, that's fucking nice.
I know.
All right, well, you're fucking, I can tell you're on the edge. You want to bash me about something.
I don't want to bash you. I'm just saying you're complaining about my friend.
I'm a fucking big fan of you.
Well, I don't care.
Well, you should fucking care.
Why? I don't play to you. I don't play to you. I don't play to you.
I don't expect you to get up on stage and dance like a fucking monkey, but I appreciate you're a nice man.
I know.
And you're a good boy.
I like your energy. I mean, this guy, you got to be a full-time caller maybe, Tom.
I call in I try and call in a good bit, but I'm a working man. Okay, I got to take care of my fucking family.
What do you do?
I'm the guy, I don't know if Tim remembers it, but I called in and I told him I sprayed houses.
Yeah,
do you remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I wet the houses down.
He sprayed those houses with his semen.
I sprayed it with cum.
That sounds like some Pizzagate.
No, I was
shit.
The one thing I wanted to say about Pizzagate was This over the weekend, this fan started saying like this conspiracy that Eric and I were involved with Pizzagate and that we were a part of this.
Oh, fucking Christ.
Well, but this is what I'm saying, because if you take his side of it, and he mounted about 10 or so tweets where he cherry-picked elements of our work over the years and made a very broad case for our normalization and promotion of pedophilia, and that it was connected to Pizzagate because of our Totino's pizza commercial, right? You can look at it. He sends it to me and
I've fucking seen that. Okay.
So that's what the guys are doing on your side too. They're drawing these dots and they're putting them together for you to see and the way that they want you to see them. But you know from looking at my work that it's not what we're about, and it's
absurd. I know that's not what you're about.
So
yeah. It doesn't concern you at all is what I'm asking. Not one iota. It's just whatever. It's just bullshit is what you're telling me.
So what? Yeah, the Pizzagate thing?
Is this shit. And you think that Hillary Clinton was a pure candidate.
No.
There's no what? No?
The pure candidate? There has never been one.
I know, but you know what I'm saying. But you thought that she was gonna do a hell of a job, is what you're telling me.
Yes, I did.
Did you think Bernie Sanders would be better than her?
Not really. No, I didn't think so, because I thought he was he's too much of an ideologue.
Too passionate.
Too much of an ideologue. There's no. I don't know. He didn't seem like a guy that would be a good president. You know, that was my perspective on it. I thought she had incredible experience, incredible service to her country over the years, and. Not perfect by any stretch. I think she obviously was a bad kid.
I'll leave it at that.
Okay. Thanks, Thomas. Call in anytime.
You there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, I don't know. Something fucking happened. I don't know, man.
I know you don't.
I miss you, and I wanted to talk to you.
I love you, Thomas. And listen, I don't judge you, although I do.
I
judge you
prick.
Too, Thomas.
you're just pricks.
Go spray some shit on somebody.
I'll spray shit in your face. All right, man.
Love you.
Love you, too.
Bye. See, now that I like that, I mean, I like being able to, don't you like at least hear talking to people?
No, that's
instead
good.
Just volleying tweets at people?
Yeah.
No, it's fine. Let's take one more call, Drew, then you probably got to get back to work. Daniel?
Tim, how's it going, buddy?
Good, how are you?
Very well. I know you're probably about to wrap up the stream here. I just really honored to be able to speak with you.
Thanks, and I apologize for all the technical difficulties here. We're working it out. Every day we try our hardest.
Oh, I know what you mean, and that reminds me, I was going to mention if you had ever looked into using Google Hangouts as a potential place to hold your...
It's, you know, I'm up for anything at this point. Maybe we'll try that one week and see if we get a better result. I feel like Google Hangouts. I feel like Google Hangouts is like can be more confusing for people, but we can try it.
Maybe so, but I think it's interesting with all of the information going around about Pizzagate and much of the rhetoric. I think that it's obviously there's a lot of tension involved. It's interesting that you brought it up. I had no idea that was something that was going to be a topic of interest today, but. It's interesting to see, nonetheless.
Do you believe in it, or are you? What do you think's going on with Pizzagate?
Well, I definitely say that it's something to take into consideration. I'm one who's open and enough to look into a lot of mysterious things. I think it's something that interests me anyway. But when you're dealing with something of this magnitude, if there was a shred of indication that it's possible, wouldn't you say that there would be someone or whoever trying to go to whatever great lengths to cover it up? Now, I'm not trying to suggest a conspiracy, but it just seems like...
It would be a conspiracy, for sure, and there would need to be a conspiracy, and there would need to be a lot of people being silenced and being covered up and also being complicit in the conspiracy of it all, right? Seems like it would be a massive, massive number of people. That's why I generally don't believe in conspiracies, because of the theory that somebody would... You know, if there's more than two people involved, it's not going to stay secret for very long.
It's also like Tim was saying earlier, it's like if there was some sort of secret society or something like this happening, we either wouldn't know about it or they wouldn't use lingo that's like
Wouldn't be so overtly...
Yeah, overt, like, pedophilia internet slang that is already kind of out there anyway for people to discover. Like,
sure.
It seems like it's a pretty sloppy scheme that they've got if you just follow along the lines of the story as it's being told.
Absolutely.
For example, I was looking at one and they were showing Comet Pizza, the logo, and it has, like, stars and little moons in the logo. And the guy making this video, you know, who's like talking about it like he's Walter Cronkite breaking news here, saying, comparing these stars and moons to this satanic imagery from some Google image he found that has Lucifer with stars. And now I know there's more weird, there's more stuff there that's not as stupid as that, you know, but it's just like when you start making those connections, like, well, maybe it's just Comet Pizza and he's got stars and moons in it because of the name Comet. I don't know. And why would you put that shit in there if you were trying to be secretive? Like, I don't get it.
Well, a few things come to mind. I think it's really kind of amazing. I think that someone already took the time to put all those things together to try to link you to all of it, of course. But I have to admit that I'm a bit down the rabbit hole on a few things here, but there's a lot of rhetoric going around that's being that people are misinformed about, that's being fabricated out of nothing, and that makes doing the real investigation so much more difficult, having to sift through any of the nonsense going around.
And then of course if there's any real investigating going on, it gets labeled as they're part of the debunking machine, they're part of the media, therefore they're part of the disinformation campaign.
Now, I find it particularly interesting that you bring this up because I personally have an individual who I've come into contact with that is being accused, not by myself, but by other people, being accused of having direct involvement with this whole Pizzagate. Oh. Now, my question to you is, we're going to conduct an interview, and I would like to see maybe some of the things you would consider inquiring upon.
So they're implicated in terms of, like, working there or being a guest?
I'll clarify a little bit. Basically, the accusations made toward them is that they are a prostitute who's been paid by these people, who's been going around the world with all these things, just to kind of not to disclose too much, to put anyone in danger. If anything happens to investigate...
Okay.
No, I'm just kidding. But I think that it's something to be wary of. And I'm having a direct connection with a person who could potentially be involved. I think it's improbable.
Are you saying that this person is saying that they are involved, or that they're being accused of being involved?
I'll put it this way: they were involved with a mysterious death that is still very shrouded in this sort of undetermined autopsy, a lot of things unclear about what exactly led to this person's death, and that this person was quick to get out of the situation and then was being accused of an asset in orchestrating the possible murder in association with a number of other ties to Pizzagate. It's all very muddied in the greater sense.
Well,
but
it's funny how, like, I think now, especially with the internet and social media, it's probably incredibly easy to start drawing lines from one person to the next, you know, playing a game of 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon or whatever.
Sure.
I mean, I'm involved now because of one guy sending 7 tweets and me commenting on it and talking about it. So, you know, I probably want to stay at arm's length from everything about it.
Sure. You know? This is just happenstance, but like I said, I think the whole thing is improbable. I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt. I think if there were really any serious threat, I probably wouldn't be here to, you know, talk with you about it. Maybe that's why we're having all the technical difficulties. Who knows?
Yes, maybe the NSA is scrambling the signal because I dare bring up Pizzagate. Well, it's fun for us to talk about.
Sure.
It is like a clear horror, you know, movie in real. It's like it satisfies what I think the best conspiracies satisfy, which is drama.
So it's sensational.
It's sensational.
And like, yeah, it's so horrific. It's like a exploitation 70s horror film or something.
People might find this simple minded, but the best example of. The best theory for why there is not any kind of New World Order, any kind of Illuminati running, is the fucking election of Donald Trump.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Like, we were all like, geez, I hope, when is the Illuminati going to step in and put a arsenic in this guy's tea, you know?
Yeah.
It hasn't happened. And I don't think the world is being planned in a room underground somewhere by guys in robes with symbols tattooed on their backs.
I think things would be running just a little bit smoother in
maybe,
general.
But maybe I'm wrong. Who knows?
So.
I would make an appeal to our overlords, our child molesting, raping, murdering,
child.
Yeah, I would make appeal to them. Like, can you do something about the traffic in LA? I gotta get a caller seat by 3 o'clock.
Well, I'm looking to just make this just as kind of cut and dry as possible with this interview. I think that there's probably really nothing to it. But like I said, we're having some fun poking at these accusations, which the individual finds kind of comedic anyways. And so we're going to play with that and kind of let them make statements.
Who's
about
we, by
this.
The way, who is the, who's we? Do you have like a team of investigators?
Well, it's in a minimal sense. It's myself and my colleagues who manage a sort of production and investigative network. And so there's a little bit to that, but I
all
think
right,
it's,
Daniel, well, let us know. Yeah. Let us know what you find out. I'm not trying to, you know, let's explore. Let's be open minded. Let's investigate where we see smoke. But my skeptical sense gets triggered off pretty quickly when it comes to this kind of stuff. And
I'm with you on that, Tim.
So, all right. Well, listen, I better wrap things up. It's well past my time, and I apologize every day, in every way. I apologize. We'll take one more quick call just to say goodbye. Emily? Oh, maybe it's not going to happen. Emily?
Yes. Hi.
Uh-oh. Emily, wait. By the way, hold on. Breaking news. Emily's calling in from Washington, D.C., correct?
I am actually calling in from Los Angeles.
Oh.
But I grew up in Washington, D.C.
So were you part of the whole Pizzagate scene? Were you part of the Comet Pizza? Were you part in these rituals and everything?
Well, first of all, thank you for taking my call. I know you're supposed to end the stream. I just started listening a couple minutes ago while I was in my Uber driving home. But I'm going to try to, even though this is on Facebook and everything, I'm going to try to keep as anonymous as possible because with how I'm involved with this, because it's honestly gotten so out of hand that I truly do not like want my information out there with this. Like, there are people coming into Comet Ping Pong with death threats.
Oh.
Anyway, it's okay. So, I grew up in Washington, D.C. My parents are both part of the art world in Washington, D.C.
Oh.
So they know personally, not as well as James Elefantes, but they know Tony Podesta.
Okay.
He's an art collector, obviously. And one of my parents is worked at a museum, a contemporary art museum in the area, and he was sat on their board for a while. So they know the Podestas pretty well, not that well, but we know James Elefantes very well.
The pizza, the Comet Pizza owner.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. A fun little 6 degrees of separation here is I actually saw David Liebehart play at Comet
Ping Pong. Oh, no. Oh, no.
So now somehow you guys are obviously.
Well, I changed I changed my entire perspective on this.
Now you believe it.
Oh, yeah. Now I'm totally a pizza gator. So, all right. So give us the short scoop. Is this a bunch of nonsense?
It is. Honestly horrifying and quite scary that this has gone as far as it has. I'm not gonna lie, like when you start digging into it and see all of the stuff they've quote unquote digged up, lined up one after another in a line, it starts to end up being like beautiful mind level, like string different, like
yeah.
In all honesty, like, oh God, where do I start? Like with the pictures of the kids or whatever, it's from James's Instagram. Uh-huh. And right next to those pictures that have been taken out, you see that they're with their parents and they're kids whose parents either work at the establishment or having eating pizza at the establishment. Right. He also owns a couple of other restaurants right next door. Those luckily haven't been attached to anything yet. But what's horrifying is they've actually like gone so far as to like somehow get the pizza store next door involved, which is a totally separate place.
It's Besta, like Besta Pizza. Yes. Which, yes, by the way, is beast in Portuguese. I found out one of these conspiracy guys says Besta Pizza is beast in Portuguese. And somehow Portugal has some kind of very lax rule about age limits. So you're up to speed on all this stuff.
Yes. And that's like a, you know, a greasy New York pizza place next to, you know, Comet, which is like a, you know, a like kind of like pretentious, douchey, like wood fired pizza place. And these poor people who own this pizza restaurant are now, they've had to almost close down some days because they're getting death threats from people. James has tried to, I mean, I, again, like I'm trying to keep as like,
someone is commenting, they say, there's underground tunnels.
Under the pizza place? Yeah.
Okay. So this is hysterical. sorry, it's so hard to gather my thoughts with this because there's so much to unravel and so much that I can talk about.
Right.
Let me ask
you real quick before you go in. I mean, I'll talk to you all day on this if you want, but sure. Give me the headline. This is all junk?
Absolutely.
Okay, thank you.
It's not it's all junk, and it's not only junk. It is nefarious conspiracy theory that is actually destroying people's lives.
Right. So like, it's manufactured. It's not just people misinterpreting facts. It's facts being being manufactured for malicious purposes to hurt people.
Absolutely. And I'm sorry, I'm not so down the rabbit hole that I know everyone's story involved, but I know that James used to date some guy. Oh, my God. He's part of the political scene in Washington, D.C., and he ran kind of like a fact checking website.
Uh-huh.
And the alt-right has had a huge beef with this guy because that his job was to fact check the things that they make up. And I'm assuming that part of the reason they were able to dig this out of, by the way, James has never met Hillary Clinton, ever.
Okay. What about these things where he's gone to the White House like a bunch of times?
Yeah, of course. So in Washington, D.C., I know that I'm not sure about you, but I know that I think Eric is kind of into the art world, right?
Yeah.
By the way, I think it's hilarious that you've been like one of my heroes since like 2007. And I think it's hilarious that the one time I get to talk to you is about fucking Pizzagate. people in the DC art world kind of know each other. It's not a big art scene like LA or New York. So everyone who's kind of in the collecting business or in the museum world kind of know each other. And James has lots of friends in the art world, and he also collects. And so Comet has kind of become like a place where a lot of fundraisers are held for the art world. And then he also knows a lot of people in the Democratic Party. I don't know if people realize this, but Washington, D.C. is actually per capita the most liberally populated voting district in the United States. We vote like 99.9% Democrat.
Yeah.
So the Democratic Party, and believe me, I have my qualms with it. I was a Bernie supporter, but yes, I voted for Hillary Clinton. It's small and it's compact, and the people know each other in D.C. It's only a few miles wide. So everyone who collects kind of knows James as being like part of the art scene. So I had my 18th birthday party at Comet Ping Pong. Wow.
Don't let that get out.
Exactly. And like, honestly,
what
like,
I were you as an 18-year-old?
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, they took advantage of me for the last few minutes that I was still under 18. Yeah. But it's horrifying. Okay. So the tunnel thing is hysterical. So when you go to Comet, it's kind of like industrially kind of like decorated. Like okay. It's kind of
like a dungeon.
Like a kiddie porn dungeon.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like the perfect. There's like a cufflinks on the walls. No, it's
it's again. It's kind of newish, kind of like steampunky, exposed beams.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Beams. So it's a. It only opened 10 years ago or so. Right. So there's a lot of like industrial wood paneling and stuff.
Okay.
And to find this is I'm convinced this is where this conspiracy theory came from, on the doors. To the bathroom doors for the men and women's restroom are like hidden in the wood paneling. Uh-huh. So you have to like find it. Oh. It's kind of like a hidden trap door kind of thing. And the only thing I've ever found is people constantly asking where the damn fucking bathroom is. Like,
and are there men and women signs on the bathrooms?
I think so. I can't remember. Yeah. I mean, there's like something that indicates that it's a bathroom.
What's up with the mural that has like the alien saying fuck me on it or something like that?
I don't know about the alien saying fuck me, but I have seen.
What if it was like written in like a Carillion language or something? And when David Lieberhart was there, he was like, that says fuck me on it. Like, and that's how that started. Like, so, you know, they have like a painting of an alien and he's got some like generic looking alien writing. I don't know.
Honestly, I'm kind of horrified now because I realized that I was trying to get in contact with you guys on Facebook. So now pretty much anyone can go to my Facebook and be like, yep, well.
No, you just called in. You just called in, caller X. You just called to Skype. You're not on the Facebook calling
me. I'm not, but I was trying to get your guys' attention on Facebook.
Oh. Well, time to close your account, John, and move to Puerto Rico.
I better call the FBI to get someone on watch now. But which, by the way, apparently James has actually tried to contact the FBI, and they basically said, yeah, there's nothing we can do for you until someone actually tries to do something to take your life.
Jesus Christ. So you know this guy personally, and you vouch for him as a man.
I don't know him that well.
Now everything falls apart.
No, hold on. So, I'm like so hesitant to talk about this. But my parents do. My parents often are very, very close friends with him and the circle of friends in the art world in Washington, D.C. And they're often at functions at Buck's, which is a restaurant next door that he owns, or Comet. And, it's been really fucking scary. What's terrifying is that, like, me growing up in the internet age, I'm able to understand what the underbelly of the internet is. Like, I grew up on 4chan. I've been kind of, I don't know, conditioned.
Understand the language of it, yeah.
Yeah, I understand the language of it, and I also understand the dangers of what kind of people get involved in this. One of my parents is in DC right now, and they just had lunch with James a few weeks ago, and this was kind of before it broke, and they called me or they mentioned that they were going to go have lunch, and I said, oh, I should let you know that a few days ago this weird conspiracy theory broke, and you better kind of be careful. That was like only a day after it had, so no one was really taking it seriously yet. Then a few weeks ago, after they came, they said, oh no, this is really serious. And I said, yeah, that's what I was trying to explain to you. My parents have no way of understanding how dangerous this conspiracy theory is, and how, like, there's no way I can tell my parents, hey, the Reddit board for this has 40,000 people actively looking at it every day. Right. Like, they have no idea what that means.
And the second that they connect this guy, James, to one of your parents, in their mind, it creates a complicity and a part of the cabal.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, and like, I am completely convinced that right now there's people who are obvious. I mean, this is the least like surprising thing ever, but I'm convinced that there are people trying to hack into James's email and to everyone else's email.
Yeah.
And you know how dumps work. They just dump every email involved.
Yeah. And you do a keyword search. You could do a keyword search for penis boy pizza, and you just go, hey, he mentioned those four words in December of 2013.
Exactly. And what scares me is that, you know, I mean, it's stupid. Like, at this point, everyone can, if they want to do something, they can look me up or whatever. It's my mom is the one who emails with him all the time. And she, when I told her and tried to explain this to her, I told her it all started with, like, the Hillary Clinton pizza party email or whatever.
Right.
And she was like, oh, I got that email.
Yeah. right.
She literally told me. She's like, yeah, it was an invitation to a fundraiser for the Democratic Party. And, like, Tony Podesta was, like, in the back cooking pizza with James. Jesus but Hillary Clinton Christ. Wasn't there.
Right.
So my mom, who didn't know what marijuana was until she was age 30, like, is literally, like, the most, like, harmless, like, child sweetheart of a woman.
Right. You don't think she's involved with a child child sacrifice
ring. Maybe her sweetness is just a front, but, like, it literally, it was a mass sent out email. I highly doubt this is, and you touched on this earlier, is that, like, if there was something nefarious going on, why in God's fuck would they be sending out mass emails inviting them to their giant child. Well,
what about the, I love the best of pizza. You mentioned the best of pizza thing before, which has a symbol, which if you look at it is a slice of pizza.
Yeah, it's literally a slice of pizza.
But this guy on the video is saying, well, if this is also a symbol for that pedophiles use, and it's just a slice of pizza. B, if you were being the super secret, why would you use overt symbolism in your
like when that thing came out, like on like the weird logos they did where like they have like a crossed ping pong thing. By the way, like everyone thinks that like ping pong is a nefarious thing. There's literally ping pong tables in the back. Right. It's pizza and ping pong. Like, so their logo
sometimes
like,
a cigar is just a cigar, right?
Yeah. And like, so
it's like super projection-y too, right? Obviously the like if the maybe, I don't know, I'm not going to say this is true or I don't know anything about this, but if it's coming from, like, Roger Stone, right? Like, this is...
Oh, God,
this is,
Roger Stone makes me physically ill.
Well, this is, like, totally... This is like, coming out of Roger Stone's wildest dreams. Like, his...
I know.
Like, if
and
you look
Alex
into this
Jones,
guy, he's a
Alex
real
Jones
sicko.
Alex Jones follows this shit.
Yeah,
Alex Jones follows this shit. And, like, I haven't watched the live stream in a while, but I don't know if you touched on it. Donald, apparently, like Alex Jones posted something that said that after Donald Trump won, Donald Trump called Alex Jones and said, thank you so much for contributing to my campaign. I promise I'll be on your show later.
Yeah. Well,
like that is absolutely bone chillingly scary. Like if that ever happens, that
ladies and gentlemen, I want to take a call right now. We've been leading up to this for about 16 months since the beginning of the campaign. He's been on the show before, but not in this capacity. And as a leader of the free world, I'd like to introduce to you Donald J. Trump. Mr. Trump, I just want to confirm with you a couple promises you made to me offline that you are going to investigate the reptilian invasion that is now taking place on the highest levels of our government, and that you will expose the crisis actors that have been a part of Sandy Hook and a number of other mass shootings, Aurora and all these other places where we had the crisis actors. And will you confirm that it was nine CIA agents that were flying those planes that flew into the towers and brought down tower number 7? Do you have any comment on that, Mr. President?
Oh, my God. I could listen to you do Alex Jones for literally years on end. It's so
I can't
perfect.
Stop.
You know those promises were made, too, like on phone calls. Like,
absolutely.
Like,
absolutely.
I will do it.
Yeah. What?
Anything.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, like, the whole Marina Abramović thing. So
right. Well, go ahead. You know her.
I'm sure that you know who Marina Abramović is, considering
I'm not that hip. I don't. I'm trying to catch up on all the Chevy Chase movies I missed during the past 15 years. That's really been my focus. But I don't know. Yeah, obviously, I've been reading about. She's just like
she's
friend.
A performance artist.
Yeah, she's
right?
Like crazy Laurie Anderson for our generation or something.
Yeah, like I am literally a 23-year-old undergrad art history major who knows jack shit about anything. And even I am well aware of the fact that Marina Abramović is the most famous living performance artist literally living today.
Right.
Like it's literally something that can be debunked in like a 0.3 second Google search.
Right.
Like it is and like her stuff from the 70s is pretty great, but after that she started doing that weird stuff that anyway, so the thing that was performed was something called, okay, oh God, how do I even begin to unravel this? The email.
I know, we don't have to get into the spirit cooking stuff. It was all, yeah. we all get it. You can look it up. Okay. It's a paganism, but it's a performance art piece, essentially.
That's
uncomfortable,
and it's not,
shocking, whatever. I mean, listen, you could talk about, there's, you know, how many fucking movies are about witches? And,
right.
You know, it's a facet of art that you talk about those kind of things.
But then the argument people make, and like one of the previous callers made, is like, well, you don't know what people do behind closed doors.
Yeah.
But like, you could say that about anybody.
Right.
And then you could also just point out the fact that like, we know.
You can say, but like, the thing is, you can say that about Donald Trump.
Right, exactly.
Like, what makes you think? And what drives me crazy is that, oh my God, what's his name? The guy who they've actually legitimately tied to doing, to owning underage child pornography, that wealthy billionaire.
Epstein.
So yeah, Bill Clinton flew on Epstein's planes, right? Epstein was also like,
so did
people
Donald Trump.
Understand. Right. Exactly. So no one ever talks about the fact that Donald Trump also was constantly hanging out with that guy.
Right.
Like, what they don't understand.
And by the way,
that-
it's not like a pentagram in the middle of a cement floor with robes and blood and goats and shit. It's like horny old rich billionaire white guys who like it as young as you can get, because that to them is like dangerous, sexy, and you know, the idea of masculinity is just you know, oh man, she was barely legal, whatever, you know, like that shit. And I'm sure those fucking guys crossed the line and either consciously or unconsciously were like really playing way too fast and loose with the laws about age and shit. So that's all it is.
Like,
it's not
a bunch of like small businesses and families and like shit through
the
mud.
Like, it's like pepperoni on some pizza.
Yeah, it's just people.
Exactly.
People, they need to, like, if people paid attention to the actual, it's not even the actual conspiracies, but just the things that are actually happening right in front of them.
Yeah.
That are on the news, like during the election or whatever, or the stupid Billy Bush thing. Like, that's all like stuff that we know actually happened.
We
don't need to look at
you don't have to connect the dots. You don't have to connect any dots. They're all connected in front of you.
Exactly. And what drives me crazy is there's already enough going on in the elitist group of the Democratic and Republican Party that is enough to criticize people on.
So it's a distraction.
What do people do?
Is it a distraction? Is it a, you know, it's just a distraction for people? Who knows where it's going to go?
It's definitely a distraction.
I think it's honestly people who kind of get off on going down this rabbit hole, and they start to make up their own conspiracies in their minds and add to what they've already fabricated. Because, like, to be honest, like, it's fascinating going down that rabbit hole and like creating this like alternate reality for yourself. But what people don't understand is that, like, when you involve actual people with actual establishments and then it becomes viral on the internet, like Kanye West was ranting about it and before he was hospitalized last week, like it puts people's actual lives in danger, because then there's people who take it very seriously,
right?
And it's terrifying.
All right, well, that's a great point to end on. Caller X, you are so glad I picked up on you. I was just going to end the show. It was a fountain of information, and I think anybody would listen to you right now and identify you pretty quickly as a reasonable, smart person to be listened to.
Yeah,
you know, you're well thought, well spoken, and I appreciate that very much. And whoever's listening now, by all means, for God's sake, leave whoever you think might be guilty of something for whatever reason alone. Don't be harassing anybody, no matter what the situation is. Stay away from the situation. I believe you. I'm on your side of the story, that this all sounds like a bunch of hoo-ha. But if you are listening and you believe some of the videos you've watched, don't get involved.
Why do you want to get involved?
Stay away. Don't let these people.
Yeah, honestly, I really had to think twice before calling you guys in, because ever since this has happened, I've literally told my parents, you know what, like, I don't want to like validate their claims, but if this dies down, maybe like delete every email
you have. Well, that's what's been happening, right? That's what's been happening, and that's been a signal to these people that there's something bad going on. Why would they delete their accounts, and why do they go private and all this stuff? Because they've been getting harassed by these people, right?
Yeah, and so I've had to tell them, like, maybe distance yourself for safety reasons, you know? Like,
this is such a mess.
And so, I mean, I don't know. I have no idea who's going to see this and then me, but yeah.
Thank you so much, Emily, and I'll talk to you later. I was trying not to say your name. Emily X. Sorry.
Thanks, Caller X.
Thanks, Caller X. Caller E. I'm going to make her one of my friends on Skype so I can get her back when I see her. We could talk more about this. Boy, was this a show or what? It started real rough. Really, really, really rough with lots and lots of technical problems, which really distracted me. But Drew, I want to thank you. You're welcome on the show anytime. You really helped me move the show forward. It is nice to have sort of another voice helping out with the calls.
Thanks for having me on.
Thanks again. And everybody, we'll see you next week or whenever I can get back online. We do love you very much at the Office Hours community. Keep in touch. Be smart. Be brave. Be honest. Be respectful. Be a friend to those you love and to those you don't know.